Get ready for the Magic Valley Prepcast on IdahoSports.com.
That's right. Welcome in another edition of the Magic Valley Prepcast on IdahoSports.com, presented by No Vape, Idaho Public Television's campaign to raise awareness about the dangers of youth vaping. Be smart, don't start. We are here to talk the biggest stories in District 4. Most weeks in, most weeks out. The term week is all relative here on the Magic Valley Prepcast. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Brandon Bainey. Let's bring in our Magic Valley expert to talk the biggest stories from District 4 activities, Scott Burton, a.k.a. Duke Baby. What's going on?
Hey, it's that time of year, Brandon. It's Sweet 16 time. I'm a Dukey. I've always kind of grown up a Duke guy. And it's time to rally, you know, or just got back from North Carolina in the middle of the night last night, and it's time to get our Duke on. Let's go.
What little credibility we had left has evaporated with those sentiments.
I'm just waiting for Logan to pop in and say NC State. So, I mean, I'm sure that's just a matter of time.
Right.
So I almost gave him a little bit of grief this morning on his podcast, but I couldn't get it typed quickly enough. But it is the best time of year. March Madness. Oh man, there's not another better sporting event than March Madness.
Yep. We could go a couple of ways with your moniker. So for those that are watching on the IdahoSports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, or Twitter account, we have our names prominently displayed on the screen. And then Scott always throws in a little nickname, or moniker underneath his actual name. So today it's Duke Baby. For those that are listening, at IdahoSports.com or wherever you download your podcasts as well, Scott is wearing his Duke polo shirt. So I imagine when you typed that in, you did that and you heard the voice of Dick Vitale. It's Duke, baby.
It is. It's Duke, baby. Yeah, I definitely did. That's channeling my inner Vitale. But I just came from North Carolina. I flew in and got in about 3 o'clock this morning, and watching March Madness with all of these Duke fans, Carolina fans, Tennessee fans, Clemson fans. I mean, that entire region was going bananas, you know. And yeah, I mean, you just talk about a different atmosphere when you head to the East and especially the South, and just the passion that these people have for their sporting teams, because there are sports nonstop there. You know, it's not like we have to, well, let's see, we just got snowed out today in spring sports, so everybody just chill. You know, they are going nonstop. And you're like, well, why are they? Dude just made a layup. It's 4-2, and the place is going bananas. And I turn around, and everybody's got Tennessee shirts on. I'm like, all right, I get it. You know? So, I mean, that was a really, really cool experience. And then, you know, plus me being a Duke guy, I could just join right in there, just kind of saunter on over to that Duke crowd and just kind of mix in with them. And it was a lot of fun.
Now, see, I see Duke Baby, and I think of the biggest Duke Baby of them all, Kyle Filipowski. What a whiner and what a baby that guy is, seriously. after the phantom knee injury, after the court storming at Wake Forest earlier this year, oh, my knee, oh, I magically recovered in time for the next game, and I had no problems whatsoever.
Well, you know, I mean, they're just kids. They're learning. It was a learning experience, and you know, plus they have that green stick syndrome with their ligaments that it appears bad at the start, but then again, they bounce right back. It's all normal. It's great.
Yeah. Well, Duke, not so great. Baseball and softball in the Magic Valley, absolutely great. When we can play, right? That's the big factor. You mentioned so many games have gotten moved off the calendar this week. Well, not this week, but this season so far. Right. We had to move the show off the calendar last week because it was like you were on spring break or something, Scott. So
yeah, I mean, it is so busy. It never, ever stops. And we say it every year. Oh, well, yeah, once we get out of winter sports, things are going to be real easy. And it's like, no, it's not. So every now and then we're going to be pushing things back. And that's why you kind of said weekly. But we'll try to be better at it. It just is so hard when we're rolling and moving. And now we're putting this one together today because, You know, you've got family coming in. I've got family outside. We've got a big old 9-year-old birthday party going on a little bit today and all day tomorrow. So life gets in the way.
Yes, for sure. And so we talked about the weather kind of impacting scheduled games and having to be wiped out. We almost had bus problems wipe out a series of games. This happened a couple of weeks ago. The Wood River baseball and softball teams made the non-conference trip to Salmon. Now, Scott, I saw that and I was like, huh, that's an unusual, you know, you think about it, and Wood River and Salmon aren't that far apart. I mean, you got to drive, right, to get there. So that was the first thing that stood out to me. And then I heard that, well, they ran into a little trouble along the way and they were able to get there and earn a clean sweep in both baseball and softball, two games each for each squad. But the journey there was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be a story somewhere if you know where to find it. And this one had a little bit of a story to it. I mean, you know, Wood River, as you can imagine, up in Haley, just buried in snow. And that first week of spring sports, I mean, everybody got hit that first week. You know, I think the week prior it was good and we thought, okay, maybe we can get off the ground, but you look at the weather, everybody gets hit that first week. And if you're up in Wood River, you basically plan on not really having spring sports be anything normal. I mean, there's been years to where, you know, those spring sports up in Wood River have gotten just a handful of games and that's it. You know, they don't see dirt until midway through the season. And, you know, here we are off to the same start. And they got a call from Salmon. And I was like, hey, you know what? You want to come up here? You know, our field's good. We understand you're kind of in a pickle. And, hey, man, let's go. So they all hopped on a bus and they're heading there. And they get, you know, and talking to both of these coaches, the baseball coach Brad Thompson and softball coach Matt Nelson, it's just funny getting their perspective on it and kind of how they describe, you know, really what happened. You know, all the baseball players are in the back and the girls are up front. And it's just one of those things. And it was, you know, one of them said, and I'm not going to mention who it was, said, no lie, the place had a stench. It was, you know, between hair products, stinky shoes, and morning breath, that bus was something else. And so they're driving all the way up there. They decide to use the restroom. And they pull into Arco, and as they pulled in, they felt and they heard a boom from the back of the bus, and everybody knew what it was. And then all of a sudden, they heard that loud hissing noise, and it's like, oh, no, here we go. They hit one of the huge boulders out front of the parking area when they pulled in, and it just crushed the tire. And so now all of a sudden they're like, well, we're stuck in Arco. What are we doing? We got to get to Salmon. Everybody's on the phone trying to figure out what to do. Luckily they did get a hold of a service station that just so happened to have another tire. A couple hours later, they're on the road again, and they get up to Salmon and the weather is perfect. It is just one of those things to where the weather was amazing. They show up, Wood River gets a sweep of softball, Wood River gets a sweep of baseball, and a story to tell about the bus ride.
Yeah, because that's not a short trip from Haley to Salmon. You're looking at like probably 4+ hours on the bus. And so you're thinking, oh, okay, well, at least they got to Arco. Like, that's halfway, right? Not really. I mean, from Arco to Salmon, you know, is another 2.5, probably another 3 hours on the bus. So they really had just gotten into the journey, Scott, and the tire pops. And I'm sure they had to be thinking, like, come heck or high water, we are finishing this thing and going to Salmon to play.
Yeah. I mean, games are few and far between in the spring sometimes, and you're going to do everything you can to get there. Now, keep in mind too, I mean, you've got these two packed teams on a yellow dog, two to a seat, at least everybody's, you know, packed in there like sardines. And you could tell from what I just described, you know, the smell of product and whatever's going on there. And now all of a sudden you've got this massively long yellow dog bus ride and you pop a tire and you're like, really, could this get any worse? And somehow they figured it out. They got up there, but that is a long, long bus ride on a yellow dog that's packed full of baseball and softball players. But that's what you do when you want to play in the spring.
Exactly. And so we talked about the trip was a success. The softball team went and earned a sweep 16-0 and 14-4. And then the baseball team did the same. They picked up a pair of wins, 12-3 and 16-1. Can you ever remember Wood River playing Salmon in anything ever?
Not really. No, not really. It's not something you hear about, you know. Wood River forever's been in our conference in the Great Basin, and it's not anything you hear of. When I was in high school, we played Salmon, and they were tough, but that was a different time back then. And Salmon's just not a destination place to go play because it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, Salmon is so far isolated from Idaho. I grew up in Montana in the Bitterroot Valley, and we're probably an hour and a half away from Salmon. My school played Salmon in junior high and, you know, JV freshman level games. And so when I was a kid, our varsity football team played Salmon, you know, several years in a row. So, yeah. I mean, they're playing Montana schools. That's how far away they are from everything else.
Yeah. And if you've never been up there, it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous area, set in the mountains. We used to go elk hunting up by Shoup, which is kind of by Salmon. But it is just gorgeous, gorgeous area. One of my college roommates was from Salmon. And so we went up there a couple times, and it's just pretty, pretty area. It's just in the middle of nowhere.
Yep. So let's talk about this Wood River baseball team for a moment. After the wins over Salmon, they were 3-2. They were swept by Bishop Kelly at the very beginning of the season. We know what kind of program they have. They had beaten Caldwell. They had swept Salmon. And then last week, Scott, they went to the annual Bucks Bags tournament in the Treasure Valley. They were able to get all four of their games in, which not everybody was able to do because of bad weather. But Wood River goes 1-3 at that tournament. They lose to Homedale and Nampa and Marsh Valley. Now, those are all really, like, Homedale and Marsh Valley will compete for the 3A championship this year. Mm-hmm. Nampa is a 5A school, and they did beat Century, a fellow 4A team. So this is a Wood River team that, you know, when we look at the Great Basin in general, of course it's Twin Falls. But the question is, who slots in behind that? And Wood River has as great of an opportunity as anybody else.
No, I mean, they really do. I mean, and you talk about the Great Basin, you know, Wood River has been in the conversation. I mean, it's typically a 2.5 team conversation, with the two obviously being Twin and Minico year in and year out. Who's going to sneak in and knock one of them out? You know, a couple of years ago, Jerome did, went over to Minico, beat Minico on their field in the district tournament, went on to state. But again, it's anything can happen. But at the end of the day, it comes down to your arms. I mean, what kind of pitching do you have? And, you know, and Wood River's got some pitching. You know, that's going to pay dividends for them down the road if they can stay healthy. But, you know, why not Wood River? But, you know, regardless of what happened at that tournament, it's really just, and every coach will tell you, it's not about wins or losses right now at all. Nobody really even cares. It's about getting on dirt. It's about seeing some live arms, swinging a bat, you know, just playing baseball, because nobody ever finishes the way that they start in baseball. It's all about getting that momentum, finding out your rhythm, your personalities. But if you don't have an opportunity to do that, then the whole thing is sort of like behind the process. And so that's why that tournament was so important for everybody to get up there and play.
Yep, for sure. You mentioned the pitching. The top pitcher for Wood River right now is Jacob Urig. He's a senior. He has 16 strikeouts and just over 10 innings of work. So that's, you know, more than a K per nine, which is phenomenal. And then he's also got a nice tidy 3.28 ERA and a 1-0 record on the bump. The question is, okay, so we've identified pitcher A, who's going to be pitcher B? Because we all know it's not like softball where, and we'll talk about softball and having a stud pitcher, right, with Wood River in a second. You can have one and be fine in softball. In baseball, you need three if you want to get to state and even districts and get the job done.
No, you really do. And the depth of pitching in baseball is, I mean, you can small ball and manufacture runs quite a bit in baseball, but if you don't have arms to back it up, then it really doesn't mean a whole lot, because you can swing the bat and get away with beating a lot of teams in, you know, 15-13 and whatever it is, but you're going to run into an arm at state that's going to shut you down, and you better have an arm to, you know, come back on that. And so that is really what it's all about in baseball. And yeah, and you're right. I mean, who's going to be that second pitcher for Wood River? You know, I don't know.
Well, they've got some time to figure it out. They're not back in action until next weekend, Scott, for the annual midseason classic in Buell. That'll be April 5th and 6th next weekend. So we will keep you apprised there. But for Wood River, we're keeping an eye on you. And I believe Brad Thompson is in his first season coaching Wood River. I could be wrong on that, but I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. You know, and going back to that pitching thing, I mean, you know, they've got four guys that they throw regularly. And you know, you talk about Urig like you did, and then, you know, Blair's thrown a little bit as well as Scherer and Hebert. And those guys, you know, might be by committee at times too. You may have a solid one, but then after that, you just got to piece together, you know, what you got. But, you know, if you've got four guys that are throwing right now, then you've got some pitching.
And maybe if Wood River can sneak someone in and nobody notices, they could borrow Mackenzie Nelson, Mac Nelson, from that softball team. We talked about her last year on the PrepCast so often, Scott. But the Wood River softball team, of course, has been very competitive with Coach Matt Nelson and his daughter, Mackenzie, in the pitcher's circle. They swept Salmon in that doubleheader. They also have looked really strong this year, Scott. They have a record of 3-2. So they haven't been able to get as many games in as the baseball team, but they did play Mountain View twice. They traveled over to Meridian and played a tough 5A undefeated Mountain View team, by the way. They're 8-0 on the season. And then they've beaten Buell and Salmon twice. And now they've got a week off like the baseball team, and then kind of an interesting doubleheader at the College of Southern Idaho. They're going to play Burley in a double dip at CSI there in Twin Falls. But this Wood River team is, they were right there last year. We think they're going to be right there again this year.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason why they can't be. I mean, this is a team that had seven seniors, you know, graduate last year. And that was kind of a big deal just because, you know, we all know how important senior leadership is, but, you know, they've got some pieces in there that are able to step in and fill that up. You know, I mean, starting first baseman and their captain, Emmy Nilsson, you know, they lost her to a knee injury during basketball. And so you put that with the seniors they lose, all of a sudden Wood River's like, man, we may have some number problems. And they were able to get, I think, 21 out. And, you know, we talk about spring sports in Wood River. It is really difficult sometimes, but they were able to get a whole bunch out. But they've got some people that can play. And you mentioned Mackenzie Nilsson. I mean, the junior, she's pitched a ton of innings since her freshman year. And, I mean, she was a great Basin co-player of the year, freshman year, and pitcher of the year last year. So they have that one. And you mentioned it. That's what softball needs, is that one. And then you just kind of rally around her. And they've got some people, you know, behind the plate is Hadley Ellsbury, just a sophomore. So they've got some good young kids. And if, you know, Mackenzie Nelson wasn't enough, Peyton, the freshman, she's in there as well. You know, she's hitting well, she's pitching above expectations. So this is a young Wood River team that is really has some pieces to make some noise in this conference.
Yeah, when you look at the innings pitched for Wood River right now, Scott, it is the freshman Peyton Nelson actually leading in innings thrown with 8. Nelson has 7 2/3, so a third of an inning more. You know, what's the difference there? But Nelson, a 1.83 ERA, microscopic, 16 strikeouts as well. And then, you know, she's doing it at the plate also, yeah. Scott. Nelson is batting 636 on the season with a home run, a triple, a double, and 8 RBIs already in the early going.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a hot start. And that's really kind of what you want. And it's all about just getting games. You know, you would, in the early season, you'd go play anybody that would have you. And if you can just start getting a rhythm, getting some games down, I mean, that is all you can ask for.
And I guess we should also single out, just like in the pitcher circle, the freshman, Peyton Nelson. Scott, she's batting 800 on the season. And this is in 16 plate appearances. She's 10 for 15 at the plate, 15 RBIs already. She has an RBI for every at bat. She's averaging one run batted in per at bat.
That's nice to see when you have a little freshman out there. But, you know, coach's kid always has an inside track to being great because they just are around it all the time. And we all know how, you know, passionate Matt is about his team and about that program that, you know, he's got four daughters. And I think if I remember right, Peyton is the third of the fourth. So we're not done yet. And Matt obviously cannot retire until they all come through, because then all of a sudden, how do you tell your last one, you know what? Peace out, honey. I'm in the same boat with where I'm at too, because by the time I have to retire or I can retire, my oldest, I'd have a sophomore and an eighth grader. And all of a sudden it's like, peace out. Daddy's gone. You know, can't do that. Matt's in the same boat and I feel his pain.
Yeah, so we will keep an eye on Wood River, certainly, ahead of that start of conference play with Burley next week at CSI. Scott, the softball action just getting started here. We had some really incredible performances in the early going, but a couple of things we got to knock out first. First, a comment from Logan Green, our Treasure Valley
broadcaster, Scott. I knew it.
Scott is a Duke bandwagon fan. Go figure.
Okay, you know what? Dang it. And I may have shown this to you in an early broadcast, but I have a picture of me and Coach K in my office taken back in the early 90s, 92, 3, somewhere in there. And Logan, no, I do not bandwagon. I had the same teams forever.
Was Coach K as much of a buzzkill back in the early 90s as he is today?
Oh, my word. I tell you what, you can be a buzzkill all you want. Just rack up the championships, the trophies, and the rings, and say whatever you like.
You do have to respect what he has done, certainly. And you have to respect what the people at No Vape are doing. No Vape is an Idaho public television campaign to raise awareness about the dangers of youth vaping. They are trying to get to our teenagers, because it's a problem. It's a problem up and down hallways and schools all across the state. So if you're from Idaho and you're one of those teenagers, you're between the ages of 13 and 18, and you want to be part of the solution, you can enter the No Vape video contest to expose the shadowy tactics that Big Vape uses. You can create and upload your 90-second vape bashing masterpiece. And then if the judges like it enough, you could win a portion of the more than $10,000 in prize money being awarded. Deadline to enter is April 1st. So you got like this weekend pretty much to get it done and sent in. Winners will be announced May 1st. All the details can be found on our website, as well as by typing in No Vape Idaho, KNOW, No Vape, into your favorite web browser. So big thanks to the folks at No Vape. Scott, as we continue on our softball journey here, let's go down to the 2A ranks, where the Declo Hornets have had an interesting season, to say the least. They are 2-2, losses to Gooding and Wendell. Their first conference game of the season, actually, last weekend, they fell 11-3. The two wins have come down to the final at bat. They beat Firth all the way back in their season opener, Scott, in 8 innings. So it went extras. As a reminder, or for fans that don't follow baseball and softball as much, we're used to 9 innings, right? When we tune into the big leagues in high school, it's seven innings is regulation. Anything beyond that is extra. So in 8 innings, Declo walked off against Firth 17-16, thanks to junior Sage Wickle. She had the walk-off single, part of a 4 RBI day. And then Declo, in their second win of the season, also came via a walk-off, Scott, over Soda Springs in a non-conference affair, 6-5. This one a little more dramatic, right? The walk-off home run from Jacoby Nebaker.
So, I mean, it was more dramatic and it was a lot quicker.
Because, right.
That was a game that, that showed a couple of things. It was a hard fought game. We know Soda's got a great program. They came out strong in the first 2 innings and Declo jumped on them like 5-0. Right. And then Soda got their bats going. right around the middle innings, 3 and 4, tied it up at 5. And then, you know, at that point is where Declo put in a sophomore pitcher, and it was McKendree Harris. And what did she do? Well, she got the next 9 outs all strikeouts. And so, right? And so all of a sudden it kind of set the stage for this seventh inning dramatic walk-off. And Coach Christensen was walking out to third base to coach third base and, you know, passed Jacoby Nebaker, the first batter up, and just kind of smiled and said something about hitting it over the fence or whatever. It's just like, I mean, it was just an air of confidence. And you know, Coach Christensen just knew that this might be it right here, you know. And I mean, for the first 3 games, you know, Jacoby's got 4 home runs, so it wasn't out of the realm of possibility. So what happened? First pitch, gone, game over. And another walk-off for Declo.
Yeah, pretty incredible. In that game, Jacoby Nebaker, 3 for 4 at the plate, 2 RBIs, the walk-off homer. And then you look up and down the lineup, and Rachel Nebaker, the older Nebaker, she had an RBI double. And you talked about the sophomore Harris and what she did in the circle. She had a big double to get the baton going offensively. A name we recognize from basketball, Lily Mallory. She had an RBI single. So it's like every sport at Declo, it seems like. It's this group of athletes that all take turns sharing the limelight, sharing the moments. It makes them tough to prepare for. You never know where it's going to come from.
Well, you know, and the cool thing about this is that, you know, the smaller schools, you get all these kids playing all these different sports. I mean, we recognize their names from basketball, volleyball, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's the thing, is they're athletes. And you ask any coach, who do they want on their team? Do you want somebody to specialize, or do you want an athlete? I take an athlete all the time. And that's what these smaller schools have to do, that the bigger schools are finding a problem with. And, you know, this is a topic for another day, but it's like the specialized sports, so stupid, so dumb. Be an athlete. And you ask any college coach, what do they want? They want an athlete, you know. But that's what these, you know, are these smaller schools have. And this is a really strong transition back to Declo. Very strong senior class that Declo has. I mean, you know, you talk about Erickson and Peterson and Silcock and Nebaker and, you know, Wageman and Mallory and Ewell. It's just, I mean, up and down the roster are some really strong leaders. But this is also a team that knows how to win. I mean, you think about what they did as a 7th seed, right? Going into the tournament as a 7th seed, and they were able to bring home a second place trophy, you know. So this is a team that really knows how to win. They're gamers.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch these seniors compete all 4 years of high school. And yet, you know, we talk about the underclassmen too. You mentioned Jacoby Nebaker, Scott, and yeah. four home runs on the season, including the walk-off. She has 6 base hits total. So 4 of the 6 have been of the home run variety. Now, I don't know if they were all clear the fence home runs. Might have been in, because we'll talk about some inside the park home runs coming up in our final story of the show here. But still, 4 home runs and 6 hits. That's high volume work.
Well, you know, the thing is, they're going to have to get a little bit of help at the plate right now. I mean, Jacoby's hitting .667 right now at the plate. As a team, it's only .333. So they're going to have to get some of those other bats going to help. And I think they will. Again, it's just a matter of kind of getting that feeling of playing again, you know. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to track this Declo team throughout the season.
Yeah, and what makes it more interesting is that for all of the excitement and the hullabaloo, they did just drop the first conference game to Wendell. You know, I'm trying to go back to look, you know, when the last time it was that Wendell won the regular season title in this cozy little 2-team conference over Declo. Scott, I'm going through the archives. I'm all the way back to 2017 now, and it's still Declo in first place. So it's been some time since Wendell has had the upper hand. And we've seen this over the years where Wendell might get a game, but Declo, you know, wins 2 of 3 or 3 of 4. And so, again, it's going to be fascinating, like every sport, you know, Declo and Wendell as they duke it out.
Yeah, and this is a pretty good Wendell team to watch out for too. I mean, they're off to a 5-1 start with their only loss coming on the road to New Plymouth, but you know, they've shown that they can score some runs. I mean, they beat Glens Ferry. They put up 14 against Glens Ferry. They put up 12 against Filer. They put up 11 against Glens Ferry. They put up 11 against Declo. So, you know, they can obviously put some runs on the board. And so this is a really good Wendell team, and Declo, and they're going to have to get better. They're going to have to get better at the plate and continue to have some solid pitching performances. But Wendell looks pretty good so far early on.
Yep. Really impressive performances for Wendell. Scott, 2014, the last time Wendell won the regular season title in that Canyon Conference. So the 11 years. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it.
Isn't that 10 years?
Well, because you got to count 14 to 24 is 11, because 14 to 23 would be 10. Does that make sense?
That's that Montana new math, isn't it?
Well, with years, it's weird because it's 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. You always got to add one when you're talking years.
But then I also go 24 minus 14, and that's 10.
I just counted it on my fingers, Scott. What more do you want?
All right, fine. Either way, it was a while ago. How's that? We'll settle on that.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, let's pivot out of this disastrous segment.
I need a nap. Okay, what's next?
Oh, my gosh. All right. Okay, let's talk Glens Ferry softball. So among Wendell's vanquished foes this year, a doubleheader sweep of Glens Ferry earlier this season. Wendell won by scores of 14-4 and 11-10. Those are the only blemishes on Glens Ferry's resume so far. They're 2-2, two conference wins over Notice and Garden Valley. In those two games, Scott, they've outscored the Pirates and Wolverines by a combined total of 48-0. So I'd say they're doing just fine.
Yeah, no, this is a really good Glens Ferry team. Like I said, the two losses to Wendell. But the thing that, you know, is important about those two losses is the first loss was a 14-4 drubbing. And then they got exposed a little bit. And one of the things that Frank, their head coach, went back and worked on is that looking at all of those weaknesses, it's like, okay, we just got thumped. Now we need to go back. We need to figure out what we did wrong, because 5 days later, they play that same Wendell team again. And they lost a heartbreaker 11-10. And so even though they've got those two losses, they're looking at that as significant amount of improvement. And Coach Case is really excited about this team, just because, you know, they're gamers. They know how to get it done. They have a good group of like freshmen, which we can talk about here in a minute. But they also have a really good player by the name of Campbell King, which is one of our highlights.
Yes, and you're right. That was not a doubleheader. They did play Wendell twice over the course of 5 days, give or take. In that Garden Valley victory, Scott, that 22-0 win, Campbell King, three home runs, which is remarkable in and of itself. But then you look a little closer, and it was three inside the park home runs. That's incredibly – that's difficult to do once, let alone three times. And meanwhile, the Glens Ferry track and field coach is going, hey, do you want to come run a relay for us or something?
Yeah, right? No kidding. And really, that's just a testament to the MO of their base running style. I mean, this is a team in Glens Ferry that just believes in being aggressive, putting pressure on the other team to make plays. And I love the style. It's just run, run, run. And if you're going to get me out, then you better make a great play. You better field it cleanly. And then you better apply the tag, because there are so many things that have to happen defensively to get a runner. And that's why teams, I think, are becoming a lot more aggressive. Well, this is what Glens Ferry does. And so, you know, according to Coach Case, she just pounded the ball and then ran her butt off and just got all the way around three times. I mean, I do it once, I'm sucking wind for 2 days. She does it three times in a game, and probably could have done it a whole lot more. This is a really good player, and she is signed with Blue Mountain College for softball and soccer. So they're getting a really good athlete in Campbell King.
Cool. And of course, Glens Ferry doesn't have their own soccer team, Scott. They play with Bliss. That's the one sport where Bliss has varsity teams, boys and girls soccer. And they borrow a lot of Glens Ferry kids. So that's cool. That's awesome. Two sport athlete.
Yeah. You know, and you look at, as to why these kids are successful, and this kid is just kind of the all American kid. I mean, just really, involved in her community, involved in 4-H, has fantastic parents that are incredibly supportive. And, you know, you think back of all the things that we talk about, especially on some of the Scott's thoughts about what these kids are going through and what they need more than anything. And that is just strong role models, strong involvement, strong sense of community and self. And this is a kid that embodies really all of that. And, you know, Glens Ferry when she was a freshman, they won the state title. And that was like, what, 3 years ago?
Yep.
Or according to your math, 7 years ago. And, but she was the center fielder for that team. And now she's behind the dish. And she'll secretly tell you that center field is her favorite position.
She gets to show off that speed. Yeah. You don't get to showcase that behind the plate unless the only time you're sprinting behind the plate is if your pitcher uncorked a wild pitch, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you got all this pent up just energy that you just want to run and you can't do it. And so I guess you do it around the base paths after you smack it around the diamond for a bit. But, you know, this is a team that, you know, really has some integral parts to it. Taylor Martinez is another one of those really important pieces of this, you know, Glens Ferry puzzle. It is a very, very strong leader. And, you know, and then you can't talk about leadership without talking about, you know, assistant coach of 35 years, Kelly McCombs. You know, I mean, really, there's a lot of experience, a lot of leadership going on here. And this is a really good team. And one of the interesting conversations I had with Coach Case was the fact that, you know, I mean, you talk about these small schools and a lot of these smaller schools, I mean, they have a hard time putting five decent girls basketball players on the floor. Well, they've got to put 10 and 11 softball players on the field at the same time, right? And in order to do that, you need some really good freshmen. And because freshmen play an important role at the younger or the smaller schools, because they just need them. And they've got some good freshmen. I think they've got three freshman starters and on this year's team. And they are seeing some of their younger programs really starting to pay off in Glens Ferry right now. And if you're a small school, any school for that matter, you've got to have those young kids, because you get a couple of classes that come through that just don't have the bodies or the interest, your whole program suffers. And it was an interesting conversation that we had, kind of measuring the small schools versus big schools.
Yeah, Frank Case has done a great job coaching this Glens Ferry program. You mentioned Kelly McCone, 35 years as an assistant coach. Of course, she's the athletic director at Glens Ferry also, and her daughter Carly is the head varsity girls basketball coach as well. And so it has been fun to watch this group of young ladies compete. You mentioned Taylor Martinez. She's the ace pitcher in the circle. One of those freshmen, Natalie Hernandez, she's batting .444 on the season already with five RBIs. And then you look at the player that started this whole conversation, Campbell King, Scott. She's batting .769 on the season. I mean, she is 10 for 13 at the plate with 11 RBIs. So we talked about Nelson averaging an RBI per at bat. King is averaging like 1.2 RBIs per at bat.
Wow. Yeah, her game has really improved, not just at the plate, but behind the dish. And, you know, she's been spending a lot of time with the Sweet Spot, a group here in the Valley that has really kind of dedicated their time to helping young softball players develop their skills, especially the battery of pitching and catching. And, you know, they attribute a lot of, you know, her early success right now to some of the training, you know, that she has gotten from Courtney over at the Sweet Spot. And, you know, it's a really good, I guess, thing to have that special training right in your backyard. And so it's really paying off so far.
And Campbell King is tied for the team lead in stolen bases, along with another one of those freshmen, Peyton Stewart. They each have 9. So you see the wheels and you see how she got 3 inside the park home runs in one game. She had a grand slam, a 3-run homer, and then a 3-run homer all inside the park. And that means not only is Campbell King fast, but the players that were on base ahead of her have to be flying too. Because you know, you've got a sprinter bearing down on you. You can't get passed on the base paths out there.
Yeah. No kidding. That's a ton of fun. And I just am really excited to see where this Glens Ferry team goes this year, just because they bring in a lot of people back. You know, they lost, I think, just one senior from last year's state title run team. And so this is a team coming back that just has been there, and they've got some really good pieces in place. I fully expect them to be at the state tournament and to make some noise.
Yeah, and you mentioned that they love to run and put pressure on. Scott, I looked at the numbers here. Since Campbell King was a freshman on that state championship team, and I'm not saying it's solely because of her, but the team philosophy has been, we're going to steal as many bases as we can. So freshman year as a team, Glens Ferry stole 168 bases in one season. That's pretty good.
Wow.
Campbell's sophomore year, it jumped up to 225. 225 bags in one year. Last year as a junior, little dip in production, only 217, Scott. I think we could forgive him. And then through 4 games this year, Scott, they've already got 35 stolen bases.
35. Doing the math. That is almost 9 a game. Or in your world, 13 a game. But Any way you want to math it up, it's a lot of stolen bases. It's putting a lot of pressure on the opposing defenses, and it gets in the head of the opposing pitcher. You know, equating it to hardball. I mean, when I pitched in baseball and in high school and college, I hated it when I knew I had aggressive teams, because I always had to change the way I delivered. I always had to be careful about, do I put this one in the dirt or not? Because, you know, a lot of those teams are trained, see dirt, go. And it just kind of messes with you. Now, all of a sudden, you're trying to work on the hitter, getting him to chase. You're okay, fine. You're ahead 0-2, but you know, you've got one or nobody out. And all of a sudden, that dirt pitch just put somebody in scoring position. There's so many things to think about when you've got an aggressive team on the base pass.
Yeah. So we'll continue to watch Glens Ferry. Very important game coming up, Scott. They've got this week off. And then next, Monday, April 1st, April Fool's game. No joke, though. They are going to travel to Caldwell to play Vision Charter. And that's the other big team in the league right now, right? They're 2-0.
Yeah, that's the game that they're kind of looking at right now, is just an early season measuring stick, because Vision Charter is kind of the team, one of the teams to beat in that conference. And if you haven't, you know, paid attention to the conferences in this softball, it's a little bit different than what you're used to, you know, with normal football and baseball and whatnot. This varsity softball, conferences looks a little bit different. Vision Charter is in it.
Yeah. Last year, Scott, they played 3 times, twice in the regular season. Vision Charter won the first game in 8 innings, 20-19. Then Glens Ferry got the rematch 7-5 all the way at the very end of the regular season. And then they got him at districts as well, 8-7. So all 3 matchups last year were very tight. And so for Vision Charter, they want to score runs. For Glens Ferry, they want to limit the runs. We'll see which style plays out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I give the advantage to Glens Ferry just because they have all those returners coming back.
Yep. For sure. All right, Scott, that'll put the finishing touches here on the Magic Valley PrepCast. Another comment in here from Logan Green. He's just kidding about all that anti-Duke fervor. Scott, he says, being from Durham and not a Duke fan, I had to say something, LOL. Yeah, do you know about this with Logan, Scott? He grew up in Durham, and his grandfather was like, and Logan can correct me in the chat, but his grandfather was like a higher up at Duke. He actually worked at Duke University, and Logan pivoted and became, or maybe it was his whole family was Duke and his grandpa was an NC State fan. And that's how he became an, and like the family almost disowned him for choosing NC State over Duke.
Wow. Even with Coach V, I mean, even with Derek Wittenberg and Lorenzo Charles and that whole thing over the Houston Cougars, how can you not like NC State? They are one, as a kid growing up, I mean, it was Duke. For some reason, I gravitated toward North Carolina, but I really did like that NC State team back in the early 80s. I mean, that was the 82, 83 era. And I mean, how can you get mad for liking that? Right. So, Logan, you're fine. You know, even though, I mean, fine is a relative term, but you know, you're all right.
The last time NC State won it all, Houston was the number one team coming in. Houston's a number one seed this year. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's destiny, but I can't really have them winning because it's going to screw up my bracket. My brackets are in great shape right now, but an NC State win would kind of mess that up a little bit. No offense. You know, no offense to, you know, Jimmy V or Logan P or Logan G or, you know, whatever. Sorry. NC State has to end.
All right, we'll see. Normally, at the end of each Magic Valley Prepcast, we would bring you a Scott's Thoughts, where we give Scott a topic and he expounds upon it. But with spring break, and then we've already gone long on the show today talking about all these great baseball and mostly softball programs in the Magic Valley, we'll push it off for another week, Scott. We'll come back next week with your next edition of Scott's Thoughts. And again, the topic is, how do you communicate better, and how do you address problems when they happen instead of letting them fester and linger beneath the surface? So,
yep, absolutely. Something we all need to work on. So, and need to work on our communication and our math. So I'll have it.
We'll put a poll up. Who was right? I mean, I legitimately counted it on my fingers. I don't know how you could possibly.
Well, the fact that you're counting on your fingers ought to be the first clue as to what's going on here. You know, I mean, it's almost like, how do you get somebody, and you can apply this, how do you get somebody from Montana to, you know, count to 11, make them take off their shoes, you know? And, I mean, but you could put Montana from anything. I'm just saying that because you're there. It could be, you know, Logan G from North Carolina. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. But the fact that you're
why stop there? You might as well go with the old classic. Hey, did you know the toothbrush was invented in Montana?
Oh, because it's singular. Tooth,
yeah.
But it's not
if it was invented anywhere else, it'd be called a teeth brush.
Oh my gosh. Oh well, I've enjoyed our last show, Brandon. It's been great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting canceled. I'm going to be disowned. I can't go back to my own state now. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it was just like the old college jokes. You take your worst college and you say, "Hey, how do you get what is your worst college? Montana State?"
Yes.
Okay. How do you get a Montana State grad off your porch? You pay him for the pizza. You know? I mean, those kinds of things, and they just apply to everything.
That's good. I'm using that. That's good. Okay. I like that. All right. Well, we have gone long. Enjoy the competitions this weekend, everybody. Hopefully Mother Nature competes no matter what you're doing. And for Scott, I know you've got speech you're in the middle of, so that's an indoor thing, but good luck to that as well.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, we've got a speech competition coming up April 6th, district, state, April 12th and 13th at Jerome High School. I'm hosting the big old state tournament, and boy, this should be fun. So it's the other side of, it's the academic side of athletics.
Have they ever thought about doing it outside, like a big political rally, and you're up on a stage and you're delivering your speech?
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine the problems that would arise with that. No, they have not. Thank goodness.
Whenever I think about that outdoor speeches, all I can think about is President Harrison, who gave his State of the Union address in February and then caught pneumonia and died like 28 days into his presidency. That was in the 1800s.
I think we all learned a great lesson from that. You know, I mean, nobody likes to speak anyway, but why put yourself out into freezing weather to do it? I mean, come on, you know, at least be comfortable while you're getting embarrassed, right?
Yeah. FDR had it right with the fireside chats. Hey, that's I'm just hanging out. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly right. He had something going on. Well, look what I got behind me. It's not on, but you know, this is typically what I do. My little fireside is our podcast.
Yeah. And just like FDR, Scott doesn't know when his terms are up and hangs around too long. No, I'm just kidding. Hangs around too long.
Yeah. You know how you get a Montana fit? Never mind. Okay.
Yeah. Boy, we went with historical humor. Yeah, that's pretty much the death knell for this show. We'll wrap it up there. Thanks for tuning into the Magic Valley Prepcast, everybody. For Scott Burton, I'm Brandon Bainey. We'll see you next time on IdahoSports.com.